I've got one more section on famine, and I'll pick back up on that, Lord willing, if I get back and come back. But there's something that is really disturbing me, and it's been disturbing me for some time. For 21 years, I've gone to our churches, and I've watched a gradual thing occur. I also began to watch it back in the 40s. And it's very, very prevalent. I've never seen anything quite like it. In about 500 A.D., people were doing the same thing they had done ever since Christ was resurrected from the dead. They were saying, Jesus is coming soon. Well, another 500 years passed. And in 1000 A.D., they said, Jesus is coming soon. Well, the truth was spreading across the earth. And it's taken a long time to spread all the way around the earth. And at first it was something that was new. And you didn't hear a certain expression very much. But by the time 1500 rolled around, it had been developed in some areas for some time. There were a lot of churches sprinkled around. And in 1500 A.D., people were still saying, Jesus is coming soon. I don't care how true something is. I don't care if it's the absolute truth of Almighty God. Human beings are such that if they keep hearing the same thing over and over and over again, and it doesn't happen, pretty soon you're going to have tremendous doubt that it ever will happen. So by the time 1900 A.D. had rolled around, and the truth had spread to a great portion of the world, and people were saying, Jesus is coming soon. By this time, actually even before, you begin to hear this expression. I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Which is a kind of a snide way of saying, come on now. People have been saying that for 1900 years. Well, in 1948, Israel became a nation. Everybody said, see, look right there in the Bible. It says Israel's going to be regathered. This is it. Jesus could come at any minute. Then they said, Jesus is coming soon. Well, in 1967, Moshe Da'an and the Israeli troops stormed the Temple Mount and the old city of Jerusalem and took it back for the first time in almost 1900 years. And they said, see, now they've got their Temple Mount back. Now they've got their city back. And Jesus is coming any minute. Well, a lot of people took 1948, after Jesus didn't show up in 48 or 67. Some people took 40 years, which is a generation in the Bible, and they added it to 1948. And adding 40 years to 1948, you come out with 1988. So this fella down in the Little Rock area, he came out and said, 88 reasons, published a little book. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. And he put this out all over the country. And it was got nationwide attention. He said, here is the absolute proof that Jesus is coming in 1988. Well, he didn't come. So he put out another book and said, no, I've made some mistakes here. It's 1989. Well, it didn't come in 1989. We've been saying Jesus is coming soon and trying to prove it ever since Israel became a nation. So we say now, Jesus is coming soon. Well, we've got the track record of 1948, 1967, and 1988 now. What are people saying? Now they're saying it a little louder than they used to say it. I've heard that before. In 1988, they were saying, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm talking about the overriding majority of this country. Now we're in 2000 AD. We're getting right up on it, just October, November. Now we're coming up in 2000 AD. And what's happening now? There are people that are flocking over to Israel, making travel reservations, and they're going to get over there in the year 2000, because the year 2000 is when Jesus is coming, because something important happens every 2,000 years, and they go through and they show you all this stuff in the Bible, and they say, Jesus is coming in the year 2000. Jesus is coming. I'll tell you what really bothers me, and bothers me a lot. Now they're saying, I've heard that all my life. I've heard that all my life. Well, you say when the year 2000 comes and Jesus comes, he's really going to put it to them, and they'll be sorry they ever said that. Forgive me if you're offended at what I say, but I don't think Jesus is coming in the year 2000. You say you could be wrong. Well, sure I could be wrong. I don't think he's coming. And I have a very definite reason for believing that. I think what's happening, I've heard that all my life, is something that God warned believers about, that know the truth, want to practice the truth, want to understand the truth, and want to live by the truth. Now, 2000 is going to come. It's going to go. I don't believe Jesus is coming in 2000. You say, well, you could be wrong. I know that. I'm not saying that I'm positive of it. No, I don't think he's coming. What's going to happen in 2001? What's going to happen when the year 2000 finishes and January 1st, 2001 comes and the year 2000 is behind us and Jesus hasn't come? What's going to happen then when people say, Jesus is coming soon? I tell you what's going to happen. This is what people are going to start saying. His promise is all hot air. There never was anything to it. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And you're going to see all the agnostics that couldn't make up their mind that it's all hot air. You're going to see all the atheists who never have believed it swear up and down, this is absolute proof that it's all a myth. And you're going to see a lot of churches that aren't even sure Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And a lot of these people that have substituted emotion for true worship. And when their emotion gets down, they're going to stop believing this. And you're going to see people that once professed Christ as their Savior denying that he even rose from the dead. It's already happening. All this is a sign. It's as sure a sign as the earthquakes, famines, and pestilences that we've talked about. Because God told us this would happen. A long time ago, God made this earth. And God did it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can you speak and have a universe made? Can you speak the world into existence? Could you possibly have the ability to make such a planet? Could you have the ability to lay out clay, dirt of the earth, dust of the earth, and cause it to come together and form this complicated maze of physical machinery called a body? Could you breathe into something and have it turn into life, would put your own life into it? God did. God did. There is a very strong delusion that began with the teaching that man descended from the lower creatures. That man gradually evolved over a period of time from what we call today apes, monkeys, gorillas, whatever. This has so permeated the mind of generation after generation after generation after generation, they now accept it as fact. That is one of the major parts of the strong delusion that God said he would send upon man in the last days. And that is one of the surest signs of his coming. We're talking about why people don't believe he's coming anymore, and why it's going to get worse and worse after he doesn't come in the year 2000. And a lot of what I call marginal believers, who really aren't believers anyway, are going to drop away from the faith like flies. Denying the glory of God, a sign. I've shown you how the earthquakes are increasing like a woman's birth pangs. I've shown you how the pestilence is increasing like a woman's birth pangs. I've shown you how the famines are increasing like a woman's birth pangs. But here is a sign that you don't have to be a scientist to observe. All you got to do is watch television. All you got to do is read your newspaper. What is this sign that the coming of the Lord is very, very near? This is what it is. Denying the glory of God. It's a sign that God's children ought to look at and realize that the coming of their master is going to catch this whole earth unawares. But you are not the children of darkness. You are the children of light. And that day should not take you unawares. It should not overtake you as a thief in the night. So what is this great and strong delusion? What is this sign? Genesis 2 and 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Everything in the heavens and the earth itself were finished by God, and all the inhabitants of this earth and the angelic host that fill the universe were completed. And God did it all. What's the strong delusion? People don't believe that anymore. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, notice Word is capitalized, meaning Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, the Son of God. And the Word, Son of God, was with God, the Father. And the Word, the Son, was God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The Son of God was there in the Father, who is a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he was there when the earth was made. He made it. This same Son of God is the one you have your faith in. He is the one I have my faith in. And he is the one who made the entire creation. The same was in the beginning with God. This is John 1, 1 and 2. So, Genesis 2 and 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And the Son of God was there with the Father, the Holy Spirit, the three of them made all of the universe, everything that lives in it, all the things of the universe. John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. In other words, there isn't anything that your Savior doesn't know about the earth or how it was put together. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, the living Son of God was in on all of this. None of it is a secret to him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was there when God breathed into the Adamos' nostrils the breath of life, and Adam, the first man, became a living soul. And he is the same Son of God that came into you when you repented of your sins and trusted him to save you and once again made you spiritually alive and put you in spiritual union with God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. For in him, we're now looking at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. This is your Savior, the same one who made the heavens and the earth, the same living Son of God with the Father and the Holy Spirit when the earth was made. For in him dwelleth all, not some, but all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's not just a dying man on a cross. That showed his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. But he is the all-powerful God. And man is about to pay a terrible, terrible price for denying the glory of God and denying that Christ is his Son. And they are shutting him out of their hearts like mad. Don't you even think about it. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers, whether they be of spiritual nature, the devil and those who follow him, or the angels who follow God and Michael and Gabriel. He is the head of all of them. And ye, Himaeus, plural, ye, members of the church at Colossae, are complete in him. I am complete in Christ. He lives in me. I live in him. I am in him, in the Father, and nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and he has the power to keep me, to save me, to keep me, and to preserve me. That's your Savior. That's my Savior. So what is this great delusion? What is this sign of the denying of the glory of God? Take a look at Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You can walk out here and take a leaf off a tree, and you can look at the dendritic pattern of the veins that stretch through that leaf. And if you put it under a microscope, it will amaze you of what's moving back and forth in that leaf. You can see the hand of God in creation. The Indians could see it. Ancient man could see it. Before the Bible was ever written, ever since the fall, man can see it. There is no way under heaven that what is standing here before you, this complicated piece of human endeavor, there is no way that the vein structure and all the things in my body could ever have been put together by an evolutionary process that caused me to be a piece of fern that was actually struck and came off a plagioclase feldspar rock on an exposed shield in Canada. There is no way that this thing could ever have been created by accident. It was created by Almighty God. So what has man done? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19:1. Now let's take a look at Romans 1 and 20. This is the same thing they did before the flood. It is the same thing that caused God to destroy man. And man is once again doing the same thing with a slightly different twist. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God spoke the world into existence. They talk about the Big Bang Theory. They say all of a sudden there was just a big bang, and then the whole universe was formed. How could that have happened? Only God can speak and turn invisible things such as atoms into physical manifestations we can taste and touch and feel and see. And God did it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can't see these quadrillion, trillion, jillion, innumerable numbers of little atoms floating around this piece of wood here. You can't see it in this piano. You can't see all these quadrillion, jillion, innumerable numbers of little tiny ions and atoms floating around in my body that are alive. You can't see them. They're invisible. You say, well, I'm looking at you. Aha, you can't see any single one of them, but you can see me. And they're manifested. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can't see the atoms, but you can see what they make. And God did it. Being understood by the things that are made, you can see God's handiwork. Even his eternal power and Godhead. Your Savior is the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse that an atheistic teacher in a college or a university can present before God to show why he's teaching there is no God, because God has shown his creation in this world. It would be impossible for this to have happened by chance. It was made by the hand of a creator. And these men, professing themselves to be wild, have become fools. I want you to notice what this delusion is. Denying the glory of God, it's a sign. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. I want you to notice in Romans 1, and one. I'm sorry, in Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In spite of the fact that that has happened, look what they did before the flood, and consider what they're doing right now in our colleges and universities and our schools across the world. Romans 1:21. Romans 1:20 ends, so that they are without excuse. Because that, he tells you why. When they knew God. Listen, I've sat under atheistic college and university teachers. I've sat in their classes. Their hearts are sealed over. But when they were young, God's Spirit convicted them. And they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They would not believe he made the creation. They would not believe he was their creator. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You've got atheistic and agnostic college professors right now that are teaching these young men and women, and you've got atheistic and agnostic teachers in high school that are teaching our children that there is no God and that we evolved from monkeys, and they are teaching them these stupid things, and their hearts have been darkened because they will not glorify God by being willing to acknowledge that God made the world and God made them. This well describes them. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that is exactly what they are by God's definition. It was that way before the flood. It is the same way now. You say, what's that got to do with Jesus coming? And the expression, oh, I've heard that all my life. Oh, that's just so much hot air. When he doesn't come in the year 2000, don't you think that these college and atheistic professors and the rest of the people that are marginal Christians are going to start saying, there's nothing to this? Why am I telling you this? You better get ready for it. Because I guarantee you, it's coming. 500 A.D., Jesus is coming soon. 1,000 A.D., Jesus is coming soon. 1,500 A.D., Jesus is coming soon. 1,900 A.D., Jesus is coming soon. I've heard that before. 1948, 1967, 1988, Jesus is coming soon. I've heard that before. 2000 A.D., Jesus is coming soon. I've heard that all my life. When 2001 rolls around and they say Jesus is coming soon, you know what these people are going to say, including some people that are now marginal believers? His promise is all hot air. The Lord indicated it would be that way. Look at what he said. He's talking about the preponderance, the majority of the world population. Matthew 24:44. Now remember, back in the late 1800s, everybody believed Jesus was coming. This was a very religious nation. And in the early 1900s, it was hard to find a true atheist. There were a lot of agnostics, but they weren't sure one way or the other. And the majority of this population believed that Christ was the living Son of God. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Notice that expression, as ye think not. What's that got to do with what I was talking about? I've heard that before. I've heard that all my life. His promise is all hot air. They don't think he's coming. And I guarantee you, by the year 2001, I would say probably 97 or 98% of this world and the population on it will not believe he's coming. They will not believe there's a God, and they will not believe Jesus is his son. You may have some religious freaks that are playing banjos and jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and hollering and speaking in tongues and jumping all over the stage and making fools of themselves. You may have a lot of that. I love music, love banjo playing, love guitars, love bass instruments. I love all that. But if that's all your religion is a feeling or emotion, people's feelings and emotions are going to change in 2001 because they aren't going to believe Jesus is coming, and you're going to see the greatest falling away that's ever occurred on the surface of this earth. Well now, did God warn us what was going to happen in the last days? He sure did. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, their own flesh, their own intelligence, their own knowledge, their own personal beliefs. I've heard that before. I've heard that all my life. His promise is all hot air. Well, the scoffers are already here. But you better believe when 2001 rolls around and Jesus hasn't come, man, you're going to have more scoffers and more ridicule of Christ than you've ever seen before on television in your entire life. Notice what they're saying. What does it mean when Jesus said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh? What does it mean, as ye think not? What does it mean? I've heard that before. I've heard that all my life. His promise is all hot air. Notice what these people are saying in 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Look at verse 4. Here's what they're saying. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all those countless generations that have died before us, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The sun comes up every morning. God didn't make the sun. The moon comes up sometimes at night, sometimes it's on the horizon, sometimes it's high above. But God didn't make the moon. Everything's just like it is. Everything's continuing just like it was. His promise is all hot air. I've heard that all my life. Jesus isn't coming. You're going to hear that in 2001 like you've never heard it before since God destroyed the earth with the flood. I guarantee it you're going to hear it. If I'm here, fine. If I'm not here, remember what I told you. Now, notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. As ye think not. Does this mean that true believers in Christ are going to be led away by this strong, great delusion? No, it doesn't, if they are true believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves, I have that underlined in yellow, because it applies to the church at Thessalonica. These were saved, scripturally baptized men and women who were still following the teachings that Christ once delivered to the saints when he organized the church during his earthly ministry. He says, for yourselves know perfectly. He said, you have complete teleos knowledge. You have thorough, complete knowledge, because I told you the last time I was there. For yourselves know perfectly at Thessalonica, at the church there, that the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, in this particular case, the day of the Lord doesn't always mean the rapture, but in this case, if you go back to the previous chapter, it does, means the catching out of the saints. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. Well, some people stop right there and they say, why, looky there, looky there, as ye think not. Oh, well, you can't tell when Jesus is coming. You know, well, so why even bother? This verse continues. For when they, now notice in verse 3 it says they. Why have I got that underlined black? Well, you don't have to know the Koine Greek language and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see he's talking about two different groups of people. Themselves in verse 2 has to be the church members at Thessalonica, and they in verse 3 has to be unbelievers. It primarily refers at the time that Paul wrote it to the Jewish nation, which was in unbelief. But it applies to all unbelievers. For when they shall say, peace and safety, there is no God. 2001, it's all hot air. There is no God. Why, Christians have been saying for 2,000 years Jesus is coming. They're all hyped up. Look what they did in 48. Look what they did in 67. Look what they did in 88. Look what they did when Mary Baker Eddy. Look at all these different prophets that have risen and had people get up on a hilltop and nobody came. And now our whole Christian world's gone to Jerusalem in the year 2000 and nothing happened. All these preachers have been telling us 2000, Jesus is coming. Well, he isn't coming. His promise is all hot air. We're safe. You don't have to worry about what God's going to do to you. You don't have to worry about judgment. These fellows go around telling you Jesus is coming. They're gloom and doom boys. They're telling you a lie. They don't know what the truth is. There is no God. There is no Son. You don't have to fear God's judgment. Just grab for all the gusto you can get. Live this life to the fullest. And tip a canoe in Tyler too. And a chicken in every pot in a car in every garage. And let's just have a great time down here. There is no God. We've got peace. We got safety. Why, look over there in the Middle East. Now Israel and Syria are at peace. There's peace in the Middle East. We've got worldwide peace. Things are going well in the economy. There is no God. You don't have to worry about his coming. You don't have to worry about judgment. Now look what God says. Boom! Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Not upon God's children. But upon them. All these men and women who believe there is no God, who are teaching the world there is no God, who say it's all hot air. God's waited 2,000 years. But my friend, when it comes, it's coming. I don't think it's coming until about 2002, 2004, somewhere in that time frame. I think it's coming after the year 2001, because I think you've got to get this nation in such a state that they believe there is no God. And it's almost there now. And when he doesn't show up in 2000, this country is going to go completely down the tubes, and you're going to see religious persecution of the true believers in Christ. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Not upon yourselves in verse 2, but upon them, the unbelievers. In verse 3, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they, the unbelievers, shall not escape. Remember this. I believe God's going to get me over there and get me back home. But don't you forget what I'm showing you this morning. Because it's going to happen. You wait and see. The law and the prophets were until John. I'm not a prophet. But I am an expositor of God's word. And I'm telling you, this is going to happen. I don't believe Jesus is coming in 2000. I'm prepared for him to come in 2000. I'm saved. I'm trying to serve him in his church. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved and I'm trying to serve him in his church. So I'm prepared for his coming. I'm going to be taken, and I'm trying to live for him. But I don't believe he's coming until after 2001. I think you've got to have this strong delusion come along. And they shall not escape. Now, what about us? This was written to a church at Thessalonica. Notice how he goes back to the church at Thessalonica. Verse 4. But ye, which is Humaeus, plural, you, members of the church at Thessalonica, but ye, brethren in the church at Thessalonica, are not in darkness. So what about this verse up here, verse 2? For yourselves, the members of the church at Thessalonica, know completely, perfectly, that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Darkness, you're not like them. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You shouldn't be surprised. I'm showing you the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm trying to rightly divide the Word of truth to you. And I'm telling you, according to the Scriptures, there has to be a delusion that's coming. And the delusion is that there is no God. When that happens, this is when Jesus is going to make his appearance. That's why I've been showing you for the last several weeks. Matthew 24, 7 and 8. In Matthew 24, 7, we are told that God's going to show us a steady increase in earthquakes, famine, and pestilence like a woman's birth pains. It's never happened before in history. I've shown you very clearly for the last several weeks that it is happening, that it never happened before in all of history. He said all these, Matthew 24, 8, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, back in verse 27, all these are the beginning, they are the starting of sorrows. What are the sorrows? A woman's birth pains. Look back at 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4, or 5 and 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, now here comes the worst part, the real sorrows of the tribulation period. Then, boom, sudden destruction cometh upon them. Notice what he uses. As travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. The beginning, you've been seeing them gradually increase and increase and increase. But in the middle of the tribulation period, you're going to see all hell break loose. You're going to see these plates start to shift. You're going to see tremendous earthquakes like you have never seen on this earth on a worldwide basis. There will never have been a time like it. Never will be a time like it again. And that's what the Lord said in Matthew. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The God-breathed word for sorrows at Odin. It means a woman's birth pains. These refer to earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, and God's been showing you ever since 1948, particularly since 1967, that these things are increasing. They will continue to increase. Well, we've had a lot of things that have happened. Some 2,000 years ago, this man went to the cross. He was the living Son of Almighty God. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God, conceived in the womb of a virgin without sin. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He lived a perfect life without sin, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, willingly and purposely, with forethought and intent, sent by God the Father, delivered his body, allowed himself to be beaten, maligned, hated, despised, crucified, nails driven through his hands and feet, and he shed his blood on that cross for our sins. If that was all that happened, we'd have no hope. But this man's been resurrected from the dead. That's what all these atheistic and agnostic college professors are teaching. They're teaching that he isn't risen from the dead and that he isn't coming. Jesus is coming soon. But the unbelievers of this world are being set up to be caught completely and suddenly by surprise. Matthew 24, 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. This is going to come upon the world when men don't expect it. The Son of Man cometh. But we should not be caught unawares. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. Now there's more to this strong delusion than just what I've been showing you. But this is a large part of it. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. Because they don't believe, because they're teaching people Jesus isn't coming, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. Why? that they all unbelievers, might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Today we have lesbians, homosexuals, perverts of every kind. They not only have pleasure in their unrighteousness, but they delight in those who join them and participate in their activities. They are unbelievers. They do not believe there is a God. They do not believe there is a judgment coming. Their consciences and hearts are sealed over like you'd seal a wound with a hot poker. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion if they should believe a lie. They're going to believe there is no God. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is this written about? Yeah, it is. David, the book of Psalms has a lot of prophecy in it. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 6 and verse 12. Why do the heathen rage? Those are to a Jew an unbeliever. And the people imagine a vain thing. What is this vain thing? That there is no God. That he doesn't exist. That he isn't going to send a son, a Messiah. That he hasn't sent a son and a Messiah. And that Christ is not going to save us. And he is dead, 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 dead. There is no God. There is no Son of God. There is no coming of Christ. That's what causes the heathen to rage. That's why you've got so much ungodliness on this earth today. That's why you've got so much trial, so many wars, so many troubles, so many different self-centered things that are occurring. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The vain thing is that there's no God, and that's the strong delusion. Take a look at what's happening right now and what's particularly going to happen when Jesus doesn't show up when most of the world expects it. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, who is his anointed? That's his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords. The kings of this earth are unbelievers. So are the rulers. I think you can see that in high places and offices across the country. Even those professing to be Christians aren't Christians. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, tell you what I'm going to do. I just heard the bell in the back. I'm having some pains up here. So I'm going to stop right here. When we start, Lord willing, the message, I'm going to start right here and I'm going to continue. Because you need to hear this. You need to be aware of it. And I'm just going to keep right on going from this point on the backside of this tape. Did you think a man that age could move?